From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. John Singleton is riding high in Hollywood. He produced and bankrolled the independent hip-hop-tuned film Hustle and Flow that won raves at Sundance and beyond this summer. And he directed the lapel-grabbing new film that opens in theaters today, Four Brothers, starring Mark Wahlberg, the R&B singer Tyrese, and Outkast superstar Andre 3000. It's the story of four foster brothers, two black, two white, who come home to Detroit seeking vengeance and then justice for the murdered woman who adopted them.
You got a burner?
Flew in.
Man, be careful with my baby. Ooh. Like that?
That ammo?
Yeah, it's loaded, little brother. Be careful. Hey, you carry the gas can.
We're gonna do that gas thing?
Yeah, we're gonna do the gas thing.
One thing that scares people more than getting burnt to death is people getting eaten alive.
Four Brothers is a violent, high-action film that ends up also reaching for a high message of justice, community, even love. It's as if John Singleton has pulled together the streams of a remarkable career. This hour, On Point, writer, producer, and director of the new Four Brothers, John Singleton. You can join the conversation. Have you been waiting for someone to break the code to get crowd-drawing action and a high social message on the screen at the same time? Does John Singleton do it for you? You can join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Later in this hour, we're scheduled to hear from one of the Four Brothers stars, Andre Benjamin. That's Andre 3000 from the duo Outkast. Well, joining me now from Los Angeles is John Singleton. In 1991, he made his directorial debut at 23, straight out of USC with Boys in the Hood. With that film, he became the youngest person and first African-American ever nominated for Best Director at the Academy Awards. He has since directed Poetic Justice, Higher Learning, Rosewood, Shaft, Baby Boy, and Too Fast, Too Furious. His new film out today is Four Brothers. Welcome, John Singleton.
Hey, thank you very much.
It's great to have you, and I have to say, I just thought this was terrific. It took me right straight back to the old kind of late 30s, early 40s Cagney, Bogey films where you've got all kinds of heavy-duty shoot-'em-up in the street, but also a real high target for the message that you're sending out.
Yeah, well, you know, while I was working on this picture, Warner Brothers put out this DVD collection, the 30s Gangster Series. And it's ironic that you say that because I had been watching those Cagney and Bogey films while I was working on this picture. Specifically looking at Mark Wahlberg as kind of like, he's kind of like Cagney. You know, he has a quiet fire to him and an undercurrent of like, you know, tension, you know, and he, you know, a lot of stuff that Jimmy Cagney used to do in the 30s, he did with looks, you know.
Yeah.
It wasn't about just, you know, him sneering and doing his lines and, you know, looking, you know, badass. Mm. You know, he could just do a whole lot more with a look than he could with even any dialogue.
And a quiet tension in Mark Wahlberg that's really deepened in this film. I mean, he's coming across as the very matured of the four brothers here. They're very matured from what we've seen him as on the screen before to me.
Well, the thing is that Mark is, a lot of people don't understand, Mark comes from that environment. I mean, before he was an actor, before he was a hip-hop star or a model, you know, he was a really troubled kid, you know.
A lot of our listeners in our hometown here, Boston, will know that from the Dorchester streets where he grew up.
Yeah. Mark, you know, he got in a lot of trouble, you know, he did a lot of questionable things and had a lot of run-ins with the police, spent a stint in jail and stuff. And he got into the entertainment business because it was a kind of escape from the life that he was living, you know. And, you know, it's funny because Mark is like the only guy, I guess, white guy in Hollywood that's kind of had the kind of arc that a lot of the black rappers have had where they get into one mode in terms of music and then getting into acting and then they move off into other entertainment fields.
That kind of
Mark is the only white guy that I can pick out that actually has done that. And so he's kind of like had a lot of respect in the black community for that because he's just like he's not a rabble-rouser anymore. He's become a really mature guy. He's basically a self-made man, in a sense.
Do you put Eminem in that same small category, John Singleton?
I'd say, Yeah, I'd say Eminem. Yeah, Eminem is too. But Eminem doesn't have an acting career. Eminem did, you know, he did 8 Mile, and that was one movie, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I single out Mark because Mark is basically, you know, he's basically now forged a really respectable acting career, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's been at it now for like, 12, 13 years. And the cool thing that he does with this picture is, you know, he's not just the badass going through the movie, you know, kicking butt and everything. He's a really a sensitive guy. What drives this character forward is the fact that his hurt and the loss of this woman that who has raised him and nurtured him.
You know,
go ahead,
John. If we may, let's hear just a little bit of Mark as brother, one of the four brothers, Bobby Mercer, here in John Singleton's new film out today. Four brothers. Here, Bobby Mercer, played by Mark Wahlberg, storms onto a basketball court in the neighborhood where his mother, the woman who adopted him and the other three, has been killed. He's got his gun out, and he's looking for information about his mother's murder. Mark Wahlberg looking for witnesses there. John Singleton, we don't want to give it all away, but tell us this story. What you can tell us of it?
Well, the story of Four Brothers is about four brothers played by Mark Wahlberg, Tyrese Gibson, Andre Benjamin, and Garrett Hedlund. And these four young men were raised by a woman named Evelyn Mercer, who basically adopted them. They were all foster kids, and she nurtured them. You know, she was the only, you know, they were like, you know, discarded, you know, lives, and she basically got them together, gave them her name, and raised them in a house together. And now they've gone off into adulthood, and they're living their four separate lives. And she ends up getting killed in a random liquor store robbery. And they come back for her funeral, and they kind of find out that the robbery wasn't so random, you know, and there was questionable about how she died. And so they start to try to investigate and then get revenge on the people who were responsible.
And pretty soon this whole wintry Detroit underbelly comes right up. The four men who have grown up from those boys, adopted from the mother, played here by Fionnuala Flanagan, just in a terrific, more than a cameo, but a terrific job there. Terrence Green is in the film.
Terrence Howard
is in the film,
yes,
as Lieutenant Green in the police force. Of course, Terrence Howard, who's also in the film you bankrolled this summer, Hustle and Flow. He acknowledges these are not exactly model citizens, but as he says, these kids are congressmen compared to what they would have been without the love of this woman. And you blur the color line here. These are men who, as they act for you, John Singleton, in Four Brothers, really do act like brothers. Black and white seem to disappear within that little pod.
Well, it's just because we had the guys spend so much time together. I didn't have a traditional rehearsal period on this film. I think that served the film really well to just have the guys chill together and have a good time. And, you know, and just, you know, really be guys. You know, they talk like guys. You know, some of the stuff that they say in this movie makes, you know, people's ears hurt. Mm-hmm. But they're guys, you know. And I really wanted to have them just, you know, bond together and work off of each other's natural energy and do a lot of improvisation and stuff and just make it real fun.
Is this, I guess, when you came out of USC, you were 23, Boys in the Hood was there. It for some people, it was very close to home. All kinds of gunplay in theaters after that came out upset a lot of people, upset you. There was talk of shutting down the film. You called that artistic racism.
Because that happens, you know, that happens all the time and every weekend, you know, around American cities, but they don't advertise it as much as they used to.
Well, it might have been a little marketing going on there, too. That film did pretty well. But could you have imagined at 23, coming from where you came from, making that film, that you'd be making a film in 2005 with white and black men portrayed as really family brothers?
Yeah, I guess so. But, you know, it wasn't on my mind then. I mean, what I wanted to accomplish actually with Boys in the Hood was just having a career as a filmmaker. You know, I mean, filmmaking has, for me, afforded me to open my eyes and travel and meet different people and broaden my horizons. You know, where I grew up in South Central Los Angeles, I grew up around nothing but blacks and Mexicans. Mm. So it's like, you know, me, you know, and me and my journey through life, you know, whether or not was me going to film school at USC or then after USC becoming a filmmaker and, you know, and experiencing different people and different things has, you know, like, broadened my horizons to not only to the things and different stories that I can tell, but just, you know, just in life in general.
No question about it. We can see it here. And you're reaching high in this film. You've got hustle and flow out at the same time, not as director, but as producer.
A producer.
Is it all finally coming together for John Singleton here? Is this the moment, or are you still looking over your shoulder?
Oh, I'm always looking over my shoulder. I mean, you know, but one thing I'm really happy about is that I'm able to do, you know, what I want to do. You know, I mean, the films I do, you know, and although I'll bet none of, you know, I don't think anything I do is perfect, but at least what I'm doing is analogous to what the norm is in Hollywood. I mean, the films that I'm putting out have a lot of heart and a lot of soul to them, and they're totally different from the norm that gets done, you know, which is most of the films don't have any heart in them and they have no soul to them. And I think that the beautiful thing is that, you know, the audience that's out there, you know, has a respect for my work and comes to my pictures because, you know, they know they get something different from what's out there.
I can vouch for that in the new film, Four Brothers, out tonight. Yeah. It's there. It took me all the way back to Angels with Dirty Faces in 1938. We've got to take a short break. We're talking with Boys in the Hood director John Singleton about his career and his new film, Four Brothers. Singleton fans, what makes these movies work? Do you remember the first time you saw Boys in the Hood? What did you think? 1-800-423-8255. This is On Point. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with Boys in the Hood director John Singleton about his career and his new film, and it is terrific. It's called Four Brothers. How about it? Are you a Singleton fan? What pulls you in? Singleton's action films, Shaft, Too Fast, Too Furious, or his social commentary dramas, Boys in the Hood, Rosewood? Are you ready to see both in one package? Ready for Four Brothers? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. John Singleton, we were talking a little about Angels with Dirty Faces, about Jimmy Cagney and the old bogey stuff, but this came from...
I was actually with this picture really influenced by what I call the urban westerns of the late 60s, early 70s. They're films like Clint Eastwood and Dirty Harry, mm-hmm. and Charles Bronson and Death Wish. And what those films did is those films took what we know as western archetypes, you know, the guy with the edge to them, yep. kind of like the cowboy type, who would be in an urban setting and he would be doing the right thing the wrong way for the right reason. And so and before then you basically had the westerns, which had the raw emotion, and, you know, a lot of them were revenge based and they had something to do, you know, everything was about, there was a clear-cut bad guy and a clear-cut situation that had to be righted. And those are the types of films that I grew up with, that I used to watch with my father on television, you know, all day, and then by myself all night, you know. And, you know, I was really influenced by those films when I approached this picture.
You have got a structure here to the storyline that follows a very different film from either of those in a way. 1965, The Sons of Katie Elder with John Wayne, Dean Martin. Was that deliberate? Did you build it right off of that?
No, I didn't. And then not every contemporary movie in Hollywood has to be built off another movie.
Amen.
Actually, in that film, they killed the whole family. They killed the mother and the father. Mm-hmm. You know, but no, I didn't even actually watch Katie Elder. When I read the script, I said, "Wow, this is like Katie Elder." You know what I mean? And I guess that got in the press. Mm. You know, but no, it wasn't like we looked at that picture and said we're going to make, you know, a movie like it.
John Singleton, you have said that cinema, that the movies saved you as a young man, as a kid. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think film, much like Francois Truffaut, my life was, you know, could have taken a whole other turn, and I think the cinema saved me from delinquency. It was something that gave me a focus and an escape from the where I was living and, you know, the things that I was seeing around me. And I grew up right next to a drive-in theater, the Century Drive-In in Los Angeles. It's since been torn down in Inglewood. And I used to look outside my apartment window and see this big, huge screen, and they'd be playing kung fu movies and blaxploitation movies and slasher movies, those Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies. And, I would look out my window and I would see all these pictures and I'd see all these images, silent. But, I was so fascinated with the cinema.
I watched this one, Four Brothers, and to me, it seemed like those strands that I see in your career really came together. I wonder if it's deliberate. I mean, the action is very compelling. It is violent. It is rough and raw. And yet it gets so tender and it gets so focused on this kind of shift from a vengeance search to something really more like justice, a kind of community getting pulled into it, your willingness to take on love quite directly, quite tenderly. Was this deliberate for you? Have you sort of learned your chops on the action side and gone back now to plug them in?
I don't know. I really did not overanalyze the picture. Mm-hmm. I just really said, I'm just going to, I worked from the script and, a lot of stuff we improvised. We just said, okay, I want to put a whole lot of heart and soul in this. I don't want to have it be that these guys are just running through the picture, doing what they do and doing what they do violent wise and not have the audience really constantly be rooting for them. And I knew that the only way the audience would be rooting for them is if people really felt the kind of sense of hurt the characters felt about losing this woman and how much she meant to them. So you notice, I don't know what screening you saw it in, but you notice the audience cheers the guys on.
Yes, they do.
For what happens, what they do, and the guys are really ruthless in getting the bad guys. But they do that because they everyone kind of shares the whole thing of, how would you feel if you lost your mother? What would you do in that situation?
Sure, and especially when you're facing a corrupt society around in this very cold Detroit you're describing, where the kind of gangs on top, and then the sense of brotherhood that they're all trying to some of them trying to escape. We'll hear, I hope, in a minute from Andre 3000, trying to escape this whole violent world, and yet they're going to do what it takes to get justice.
Yes, they're going to do whatever it takes to get justice. I mean, there's a moment in this picture where you see each one of them in their individual rooms thinking about the mother, and then
they're like teenage boys again.
They just revert to how they were when they grew up in this house. And that's just like, and then afterwards they come out and then, as men do sometimes, they hide their emotions and don't reveal their emotions to each other individually, and those kind of things are really subtle touches that I found really help the picture in the sense that no matter what the characters do in this picture, you're with them. The audience is with them along for the ride because they're with them emotionally.
You take it all the way to, you've even got a labor union moment and motif running through this film. Where's that come from?
It comes from Detroit. I mean, America was built on its ability to be able to, for people to organize and for labor to be organized. And as a lot of people know, a lot of that has been, kind of almost dashed by a lot of corporations. We've had, so much outsourcing and everything of American labor and just something that was basically on the brain. But those things are, you notice, they're just like the subtle, they're in the subtext. They're not at the forefront. I mean, there are people who basically who are a part of that will find a whole lot of meaning in that, it helps in terms of in the end and the action of it.
I wanted to ask you, you've got a record of working with musicians brought onto the screen. In this film, of course, Andre 3000 from Outkast, Andre Benjamin. You've also got Tyrese Gibson, just terrific here, of course, an R&B singer in his own right. You've got Ludacris in the film you produced, Hustle and Flow. Why have you reached out to musicians? Are the lines blurring? Why do you bring them over?
There's always been musicians, in a film. I mean, you look in the past, and entertainers, they used to have to act, dance, and sing. And it just so happens that a lot of the people that I'm socially acquainted with happen to be in the music business. I was in the music business for a hot moment. I guess I'm a frustrated musician also, and I keep company with a lot of people who are creative in that vein. But I never put anybody in the film because they're, like, you know, hot.
Mm-hmm. You got the hot single, so bring them in?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't do that. I mean, I put people through a rigorous kind of test, you know, even getting my films. And you notice that everyone that has worked with me on this, you know, who comes from music into filmmaking, they end up becoming, you know, having careers as actors afterwards. So, you know, for me, it's like I'm kind of, you know, I kind of like the gatekeeper for a generation of people in the hip-hop industry that are serious about acting.
To come on over. Producer, director John Singleton is with us this hour. His new film out today in theaters is Four Brothers. A lot of callers want to join us. I want to begin to turn to them. Mary is calling from Iowa City, Iowa. Hi, Mary. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
I love your film because each film has its teachable moments. And my favorite film is Higher Learning.
Thank you very much.
And I want to know how do you get to that moment when you, because you work so many things into the film, and your film is not just about black people, because in mm-hmm. Higher Learning you had the boy that had got mixed up with the skinheads. Mm-hmm. I think that was his story, because he said, all I wanted to do was go to school. And yeah. I just love your work.
Thank you very much.
Mary, that's great. Thanks for calling. John Singleton, what about that teachable moment in each of your films? Do you aim for it from the get-go? Is it the starting point or not?
You know what? It just happens like that, man. I mean, there are different things that really concern me that end up being in my films. And I can hardly call it a conscious decision. It's just that, you know, there are things that you know, that bother me that I always end up dealing with in my films, even when I try not to. They told us in film school that we, like, you know, whoever you are, no matter what you do, we'll know who you are from your movies, you know, because you're always going to put your personality in your films, even if you do something that you try not to. And so I think that has always held true in my career. You know, they're just different aspects of my personality.
John Singleton, we've got joining us in just a moment from New York, Andre Benjamin, better known maybe still to many as Andre 3000 from the group Outkast. If you know him, if you're a fan, you'll know him cold. If you're a different part of our listenership and don't know him, you may recognize this song, his 2003 song, a 2004 Grammy-winning hit, Hey Ya. Let's catch just a bit of that.
One, two.
Andre 3000, Andre Benjamin from Outkast in 2003. He is one of the four brothers in the movie of the same name, Four Brothers, directed by John Singleton. He joins us now from New York. Andre Benjamin, thanks so much for being with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on your show, man.
Very interesting role you've got here. Mr. Singleton
hey,
is with
up,
us.
What's going on, man?
How you doing, man?
I'm chilling.
That's great. That's great.
I'm laughing because you played Dre's song and yeah. The thing is that, you know, in terms of him acting, he's always trying to get away from, you know, the other career that he's established and
Understood.
Do something totally analogous and different from what people would expect him to do.
And we throw it right back in his ear.
Then you throw it, yeah. That's, I'm just laughing. He's always saying, you know, I'm trying to get away from people thinking me as the Hey Ya guy.
You know
and
what?
He played the song, and I know exactly what he's thinking. You know, so
no, it's not a bad thing at all. I mean, you never can forget stuff like that. I'm not trying to run from it, but it's kind of like odd when you're you know, in a casting director's room, and the only thing they can think about is you dancing around.
Well, let me tell you, we're thinking about more than that right now. We remember that those lime green outfits at the Grammys, no question about it.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
But here you are in this film, and this is such a different persona that you're projecting, Andre Benjamin. And of the four brothers, you're the serious guy who's trying to make it by the rules, trying to be a capitalist, trying to be a developer, and it's tough, and you're brought to this moment where you have to decide whether to stick with the, you know, no more guns, no more violence, none of that, or to jump in the fray with your brothers that you love. It's a really moving moment. I thought you just pulled it off wonderfully. How did you bring yourself to that moment?
I guess you read the story and you kind of read it over and over again, and you kind of think, you know, you have to kind of create a backstory of what, you know, what Jeremiah Mercer, like, what is he going through? You know, when did his wife meet? You know, how long have they been together? You know, what do they think of their kids? So, and when you think of all that and you kind of create a world, you kind of just naturally get into it. You know, if you invest, I mean, I guess the more time you put into it, the more, you know, you'll see on screen. So, I mean, it's kind of playing. It's like being a big kid, really.
We know you're an entertainer, a singer, and now proven here as an actor. But that is such a wide spectrum from that kind of, you know, over-the-top outcast performance to this. How do you hold all that in one in one mind?
It's all just outlets, you know. I mean, I say we're pretty much like my generation. We like Renaissance kids. We grew up, you know, in the MTV era. You know, when MTV first jumped off, we grew up in, you know, the start of some of the greatest American companies. You know, from you know Ralph Lauren to Apple. You know, all that was being born around the same time we were being born. So we got a chance to see some of the best ad campaigns, you know. I Like to Teach the World to Sing and all that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that, you know, and you grow up and you're in this entertainment business, so it kind of comes out, you know. So I love to do film. I love to do music. I love creating ad campaigns, video concepts, and designing clothes. So it's just, it's kind of natural. I just have to find a way and find a great team around me. Mm-hmm. To kind of make it all make sense. You know, I don't do them all at once. You know, I kind of take time when I'm working on a film. I'm not even doing music, you know, because I want to give it my all or whatever. So,
and in this film, playing a character who's really trying to be the opposite of the whole hip-hop theme, let's listen to just a little bit of Andre Benjamin. He's joining us now from New York. Here he is as Jeremiah Mercer in John Singleton's Four Brothers. Here he's confronted by his three brothers about money he received from a life insurance plan that he took out on their mother.
Y'all think I had something to do with Mom getting killed?
You got a check for $400,000 that you just so happened to forget to mention for Mom's life insurance.
She took out the policy for the girls, man. I ain't have nothing to do with that. Come on, man.
You made the payments.
Good timing, Jerry. Just when it seems like all is lost for you, Mom gets shot by some gangsters and now you hit the lottery?
So y'all tripping because I made insurance payments? What? I paid all her bills. How many years did I have to take care of her myself? Y'all around doing nothing. And you gonna tell me I killed her?
Andre Benjamin, Andre 3000 in John Singleton's new film, Four Brothers. John Singleton, what did you find? You knew Andre Benjamin socially. What did you find in him on the set?
He's just a real focused, you know, focused actor. I mean, I give him a tremendous amount of respect because, you know, he comes to work and, you know, he's... He learned something in this movie in the sense that he knows that he doesn't have to do a whole lot to be interesting on film and tell the story. Mm-hmm. And he would go over the script, like you said, read it over and over again and, you know, and ask questions and bring a whole lot of, different levels to the character. I mean, it was funny, and Dre, you remember this, we really didn't have a whole lot of rehearsal time and for this picture, so all they did was play hockey and bond together. But on the first day of the shoot, I basically made all the actors do improv scenes all day. It was like, it was the first day of shooting. In front of the house, Jeremiah. Remember that?
Yeah.
And we're just like, okay, this is a situation. You're going to say this, you're going to say this, and you work it off from here. And he would just, you know, he came up with stuff on the fly. He came up with, you know, the whole thing and said, hey, remember you burnt my house down, you know, I mean my tree house down and da, da, da. Like, you know, just, and all I've talked to him about was this is the kind of guy this guy is. This guy builds things. This guy has dreams, you know, and he would just work off from there.
It's terrific. Andre Benjamin, I've got one more question for you, but we've got to take a break. Can you stick around with us for a couple minutes more?
Yeah, sure.
Terrific. Andre Benjamin is with us. John Singleton is with us. Singleton's new film out tonight, Four Brothers. It's terrific. What do you think? Is America ready to blur the color line, to put whites and blacks on the same side against injustice? That's what they do in the film. We're at 1-800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
Support for On Point comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, Bicon Dental Implants, offering short implants that can eliminate the need for bone grafting. Information is available at Bicon.com, B-I-C-O-N.com, and Private Wealth Management at Babson Capital. For more than 60 years, helping clients build and preserve wealth through financial planning, investment management, and trust services. In Cambridge and on the web at BabsonCapital.com.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with Boys in the Hood director John Singleton about his career and his new film, Four Brothers. And we're delighted to have, for the next couple of minutes with us, Andre 3000 from the duo Outkast, one of the stars, and really turning in a terrific performance in the new film, Four Brothers, out tonight. You can join us as well. 1-800-423-8255. Singleton fans, what makes these movies work? 1-800-423-TALK. Andre Benjamin, here's my question for you. I wish you'd just be as personal with us as you can on this. You play one of two black adopted brothers here, along with Tyrese Gibson, set with two white adopted brothers, Mark Wahlberg and, of course, Garrett Hedlund. And on screen, you guys achieve a tremendous kind of intimacy, a very natural feeling of how brothers interact, the kind of jibes and the wrestling and the knowing where each other's soft parts are and the whole thing. How did that feel to you? Did that feel like a very artificial construction that John Singleton got you into? Or in 2005, could that feel somehow natural to be really a brother to these white characters?
When I read the script and I saw that it was, you know, a multicultural, multiracial, cast, I thought it was interesting. And I have to kind of give a nod to, I guess, the casting director, because it couldn't have been cast better.
Yeah.
I think because just the natural, I guess, attitude or chemistry of us four, the things that we brought, I guess, our personal attitude, I think when we showed up on the set, like John said, like usually he has maybe, you know, 2 or 3 weeks of rehearsal before doing the film. Like, we honestly didn't have any rehearsal. It was hockey practice. And so, you know, you show up on set, and everybody's, their personality and their individual personality is the best. And, we didn't have to rehearse being brothers, so it was natural. So when we're on set and they yell action, you know, it's there. And when they yell cut, it's still there. You know, we got everybody involved. It was, even though the brothers were the family, I mean, even the crew, you know, from light man to cameraman, they added, you know, they helped, because I guess they saw our chemistry. We were all having fun on set. So me being a beginner and, you know, I guess the technical parts of acting, like, you know, from, you know, your marks and where you stand to lighting. I mean, it was all, everybody was invested. So it was like a big family.
And color, did it go away? Did you just say, I'm going to roll with this? Are you of a generation where that just really wasn't a bump in the road for you in playing this biracial cast?
Really, it was the easiest part of Four Brothers was the brother part.
Yeah.
You know, that was the easiest part. It couldn't have been any better. And I knew for this thing to work, I knew it was going to have to be believable on screen that we were brothers, that we could have been brothers. So, going into it, I'm an only child. So I guess the closest thing I've ever had to a brother was like my DJ and Big Boy.
Yeah.
You know, so showing up on set and, you know, and having these guys, you know, be my brothers. And I think when we're 60 years old and, you know, I see Tyrese or I see Mark or Garrett on the street, I think we'll always remember that, man, we were brothers, you know.
John Singleton, it happened. The chemistry
happened. It happened.
It's terrific. Andre Benjamin, it's wonderful to have you with us from New York. And we're just delighted to see you in the film. And congratulations on shifting over here to a whole new medium. We wish you well with it. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Andre Benjamin, better known still, but maybe not for long, as Andre 3000 of the duo Outkast. Let's turn to our callers. They've been so patiently waiting. Michelle is calling from Charleston, South Carolina. Hi, Michelle. You're on the air.
Hey, what's up?
We're good. What do you think?
Well, I love John Singleton. Thanks, John. And I went to see
Thank
the
you.
Movie Rosewood, and I went mm-hmm. to Rosewood in Florida.
Oh, wow.
It was a very intense experience.
Wow.
This is the film about basically a kind of a whole town of African-Americans being wiped out.
Right. And, you know, that's like a whole other conversation, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. thank you for trying so hard with your movies.
Thank you. Thank
but
you
I got a different perspective, and I don't know if you're going to like to hear this.
Let's hear it.
Oh, tell me. I want to hear it.
I'm more interested in Evelyn's story.
Oh, that's beautiful.
This is the mother and four brothers.
Uh-uh, it ain't beautiful, because you're not. And most black directors don't seem to be interested in the women any more than the white directors who made those urban westerns and the real westerns and all of the other movies. Women are props. Women are the excuses. When we get raped, stomped, beat, murdered, we're the reason the guys get to go and do something interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We get to do. Mm-hmm. They get to do something interesting, and the conflict is interesting. It's definitely interesting. Mm-hmm. I got no problems with a movie about four guys who face an incredible situation and mm-hmm. deal with each other. But where the hell is Evelyn? I think mm-hmm. she's kind of interesting. I think she's kind of awesome, probably mm-hmm. human, probably flawed.
Michelle, it's a great question. I want to just work up the plot line a little bit for listeners who haven't seen it. Evelyn is the woman played by Fionnuala Flanagan, who took all these kids in. The storyline has her having taken in tons of foster kids. These four could not be moved on, so she adopted them. She's killed very early in the show, but makes some kind of appearances even so. You'd like to see her having been kept right in there all the way through, and you're, John Singleton, Michelle, saying, why not? Why are the men always up front?
Well, I mean, that was the plot of the picture. I mean, I agree with her. She's a very interesting character. You know, I could have made a whole different type of film had I, you know, not killed her off of the picture. And I totally agree with what she's saying in terms of women in a lot of the male-driven films being the catalyst for the action and not being fully realized as characters, you know. But I have dealt in various ways in my other films with women go through and the trials that women go through in context with men and in context with each other. You know, so I mean, you know, but I am a man, you know, first and foremost. I don't, you know, I can't even pretend to be get into the minds, you know, and hearts of what women are thinking and everything. But I have attempted to in various pictures. I don't know if you saw my film Baby Boy, but the film that I made Baby Boy was basically a critique on the infantilism of contemporary black men in context to
saying grow up guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and that movie was basically, you know, loved by the women, hated by black men. So I don't know if this woman's ever seen that picture, but you know, I'm really proud of that film because, you know, whenever I go anywhere with women, I made that film for the women, you know, I get a lot of respect for.
But let me ask you, Michelle, stick with us here because we hear your passion on this. John Singleton, in the film you've produced this year, Hustle and Flow, it's the story yes. of a Memphis pimp who wants to become mm-hmm. a hip-hop star, kind of two back-to-back career realities and aspirations that are both sort of famous for being exploitive of women as well.
I mean, well, I didn't write that picture, but that also
But you bankrolled it. You made it happen.
That fits the paradigm that she's explaining, mm-hmm. too. I mean, mm-hmm. The women are the catalyst for what this guy is going through.
Mm-hmm.
But in defense of that picture, you know, the women in that picture are not, they're not stereotypical. They stand up to this guy. The fact that they stand up to this guy, and each one of them is very, very different, you know, in their various ways. And, you know, they're real. They're tangible people in that film.
Michelle, come back in here with us. We hear your critique. I'd like to know what you want and what you think John Singleton could do. What could he create?
Well, I saw Baby Boy, loved it. It sparked a huge discussion among
a debate.
group of women, black and white.
Yes. Mm.
And the black women and the white women were sitting there and saying, you know, basically, we're props. We're excuses. The story needs us to get hurt. You got that?
To get hurt. Mm-hmm. To be damaged.
To get hurt mm-hmm. physically mm-hmm. to make the guys do something interesting. And then the action, the focus, the intensity shifts to what the guys do. What do I want you to do? Keep making movies. You're getting better every time you make a movie. Every time. Every time. Take the money. Go find black women and white women who want to make movies. And the second thing is, you're an artist. You can get inside of anybody. Don't let the barrier of gender or anything. You don't let race stand in your way. Why would you let gender stand in your way? You're an artist. You can do
Thank you, honey.
Oh, Michelle, you're hot, and we're so grateful for your call. Thank you very much for calling
Thank
in with it.
Thank you very much.
Let's get another. Siddiqui is calling from Roxbury, Massachusetts. Siddiqui, you're on the air.
How you doing?
We're great. What do you think?
I was calling. Really curious. Interestingly, if I was thinking about Mr. Singlet the other day, I in fact had happened to see Hustle and Flow. So I basically had a question for him in terms of clearly, you know, we have a few gems out there who have, you know, a certain amount of control out of, you know, what comes across the screen. And I know we had Boys in the Hood and what have you. And I was wondering if, in fact, based on a certain amount of power that he has right now, is it going to be more of an inclination on his part to, say, for instance, call up Angela Bassett and Denzel and say, look, I want to do a film, you know, a positive film about black life and the positive side of black life because of the fact
that... The positive side, you're saying?
Yeah, because of the fact that in many respects, you know, a lot of the negativity in terms of imagery, like, for instance, Hustle and Flow, I didn't feel too good coming out of there. And there were a lot
because explain why, Siddiqui.
Well, because of the fact that, you know, I heard him saying that the women stood up and, you know, in many respects, the women, you know, they were prostitutes and functioning in a condescending manner. Mm-hmm. And he essentially was brutal in his mentality. And there were a lot of young people in the movie theater, unfortunately, who saw that. And I think to kind of pump them up in terms of saying, you know, hey, you know, I might want to be like this guy.
Glorifying that.
I don't think so. I mean, you look at that movie and you don't want to be that guy. You don't want to live like that guy. The guy is basically not happy in his own situation. It wasn't the whole idea of it was to do something that was analogous to what is in popular hip hop culture. And the depiction of the pimp is like this cartoonish, you know, fly guy, you know, with the colorful suits and the gator shoes and the fancy car. You know, we wanted to show that these guys basically, the guys who are pushed into this thing, who are basically chauffeurs. You know what I mean? They're just like, you know, preying on young women who basically have, you know, problems with their self-esteem.
Siddiqui, I want to get your response to that. John Singleton, if we may, we've got a little clip of that. Here's Terrence Howard as the Memphis pimp, and he's making his case in this clip for his dream of moving from pimpdom to hip-hop stardom. Let's get a feeling for it.
I had this thing right here. My heart beats in this thing.
I'm going to do it with a cassette tape, man.
My blood pumped in this, man.
Dog, do you know it's a new millennium? I can't do nothing with no cassette tape. I don't even have a cassette tape player.
I appreciate the fact you talking to me, man. Man like this, you know, treat me like an equal, man. And the only reason I give you that right there is because, you know, if you give me a shot, you know, just give me a chance to get my voice heard, man. You know, I wouldn't even have words today, man.
Caller Siddiqui, I want to ask you, John Singleton has said again and again over the years, I've got to show the way things really are if we want to get to someplace honest. You're saying you want something more positive, so where's honesty here? Where's accuracy?
Well, for me, it's like, you know, when talking about showing what's real, I mean, okay, it's one thing to do that, but, you know, there's another side of being real also. You know, like, I disagree with them in terms of the realness of the acting in the film. I mean, you know, I didn't feel good as a man coming out of it, particularly the scene where he threw the woman and the baby out on the curb and said, get out, and didn't care about where they went. And, you know, and young people are very impressionable. And if they get a sense that violence against women is the appropriate way to function, then they bring that home. Because I'm telling you, I saw young men walking out of there with their shoulders huffed up like, hey, I think I might want to be like this. All I'm saying is I understand.
Yeah.
I totally agree with him.
John, what do you say?
In that sense.
What do you say?
Well,
Siddiqui, you say I've got to show it as it is. Siddiqui says we've got to show people a better way, in a sense.
I totally agree with him in the sense that, you know, I don't think I make films glorifying violence against anyone. Whenever there's violent things happening in my films, they seem more violent because I play it out as realism. I don't make a cartoon.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Guys, you know, and that's what makes what I do different from what anyone else that I think does in this business is because I make you feel something when something happens violent.
And Siddiqui feels it. He doesn't entirely like feeling it walking out of there.
Well, that's what life is about. You know, I mean, you know, I like characters who are like, who have edge to them, who are like people that are not necessarily likable people, but they're interesting. Like, you know, people like, you know, when you watch Robert De Niro in Taxi Driver
sure.
or Raging Bull, him playing Jake LaMotta in Raging Bull, you don't like that guy, but he's so interesting.
You can't take
you
your
know,
eyes
when you
off
watch,
him. You know.
Take your eyes off him. Mm-hmm. When you watch Marlon Brando, you know, as Stanley Kowalski in Streetcar Named Desire, you look at this guy, he's not a nice guy, but you just cannot stop watching him, you know? And those are the kind of people that I like to see on film. I mean, you know, for better or worse, they're, you know, they're a certain kind of a male archetype, but you know, that's, you know, that's what gets me going, man. Those are the kind of characters that I really like that basically inspire me, you know, in the cinema.
Siddiqui, thanks for your call. John Singleton, we just got a couple of minutes left here. You've had big hits. You've had a lot of critical acclaim. You've had moments where it wasn't going so great. Where do you see yourself in the arc of your career as a director, as a black director, as a producer and writer? Is it unfolding the way you hoped? Where are you headed?
Well, yeah, I mean, things are going fine for me. I mean, I've been able to do what I want to do as a filmmaker within the system, and, you know, and I'm forging a path to basically create my own system, too. I mean, this year with Hustle
Bankrolling
and Flow.
Bankrolling your own film there in Hustle and Flow.
Bankrolling my own film was the best thing I ever could have done, because that means that there are certain types of films that may not necessarily be within the subject matter that the studios want to do, that I'll be able to find the financing and make the wherewithal and make them myself. And that's a very powerful thing, because unlike the American film industry is not like Europe. In Europe, you know, the French or the Germans or different countries, the state pays for the film, and they can do a romantic film. It doesn't have to necessarily have a certain type of plot or whatever. It's just a reflection of a certain type of life and a reflection of the human condition. And I think that it becomes difficult when you try to do stories that don't necessarily fit a paradigm within, you know, to do it within the system. Mm-hmm. And that's what we found with Hustle and Flow. And what I'm really happy about is, you know, what that picture was. It allowed me to help out a friend of mine, Craig Brewer, you know, who's an amazing young filmmaker. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I haven't even done that for myself yet, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so there's so many different more movies to do. I'm going to continue to do movies within the studio system and continue to do them independently, but I want to do them my way.
Well, you've got that going on in Four Brothers in Spades. It's a thriller, but it's also thrilling along lines that we're just not used to. I think you've broken a code there, and it works for me. John Singleton, congratulations on the new film. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. All right, thank you very much.
John Singleton, producer, writer, director of the new film opening today, Four Brothers. On Point is produced by Meghna Chakrabarty, Julie Jopp, Eileen Amata, Stefano Katsonis, Matt Lieber, James Ross, Christina Russo, and Karen Schiffman. Our senior producer is Graham Griffith. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR, National Public Radio.